Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
We are currently in the season of Epiphany. Epiphany is a time after Christmas when traditionally the wise men have revealed who Jesus is. They've come to Mary and Joseph, and they've seen the child, and they confirm who Jesus is. It is also a revelation that decision or that discovery is being made by Gentiles. And so it's this idea that Jesus' message is now being opened to all people of all time and all generations. It is, as we've talked about in the past, it is an aha moment. It's that time when the world as it really is being revealed, not as you might see it on the commercials, but as it truly and it really is. It also is a time of discovery for us personally. There is the story of the Epiphany of the three wise men, and we often want to relegate that to a historical time. But it's also about our journey of faith and finding out where we are as we take that same journey of discovery, of finding something of significance and of value that we are pursuing in our life. What is our life goal? What is our life mission? It is that special kind of aha moment. And we talked about having a moment when everything in your life becomes clear, your purpose and your mission and your destination. As we gather this morning, we want to realize that it is not just about going to Bethlehem or to Nazareth to find Jesus, but to understand who we are on the inside. The philosophers and the psychologists would call it having a gestalt moment, a moment of clarity, of saying, that's who I am, or that's who I want to be. You see, I often think about that journey those wise men had to initially take, and while that was a historical moment, it also helps us understand the journey that we find ourselves on. Imagine if you're back in Persia, back in the Mesopotamia area, and they are looking up in the stars. They're measuring the movement of the stars, and by reading the stars, they find or they believe that something spectacular is happening in the world, something that has never happened before and will never happen again, and they want to be a part of it. And I often wonder what goes through your mind when there is an opportunity to do something spectacular. Have you ever had anybody do that to you? Just kind of say, this is a huge opportunity, maybe to go on a trip or to invest in something. This is huge. It's going to require, if you've ever watched the television, that they have all these poker shows and somebody says, I'm all in. It's going to require all of you. What happens when those moments come? Do you ever get consumed by self-doubt and kind of go, maybe I didn't realize that as much, become a little bit more protective and kind of make sure that you've got all of your ducks in a row before you ever take a step? Would you have made a very good wise man or wise woman to go out on that journey like that? Their journey took them from Mesopotamia all the way around Persia and down through Palestine on what would have been at least several weeks, if not several months' journey. And on that journey, they would have had to invest a great deal of their time and their talents and their energy. But they believed that where they were going had significance and a value. One of the challenges that I find in our culture today, from people that I meet both here in the church and around the community, is we are, as a people, lacking a strong story. Where are we going with our country? Where are we going with our lives? Where do we want to go as a community? Sometimes we just want to keep the lights on and the doors open. But not many people want to get behind a story like that. The story of the wise men gives us a sense of a deeper purpose to life, something that is unfolding that will never be seen again, and an opportunity for you to be a part of it. Now, there's often things that will hold you back. As soon as that opportunity presents itself, it's often quite frightening. What happens? We put up all kinds of barriers. We don't want to get involved. It's going to require too much. It's going to require some of our time. It's going to require some of our talents, some of our resources. There's all kinds of things that are going to block us. And Jesus understands that what is keeping us out of the kingdom is all of these negativity things that come at us to say, that's not right for you. This morning, we're going to look at another passage, which hopefully will give you a sense of aha, that sense of what's going on in your life. And it's found in Matthew chapter 16. As we open up God's word, it speaks to us because Jesus is trying to communicate to us a deeper truth about what is happening. If you would you join with me as we center our lives on God's word? You know this by heart. This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I believe he has a purpose for my life. Now, if you own that, that is your epiphany, aha moment. That's who I am. That's my journey. Listen to this passage from Matthew chapter 16. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your eye is the lamp of the body, and if your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Help us, O God, to experience your spirit in this place and at this time, to grow, to journey and to travel, and to experience you in an epiphany moment that will change our lives. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. To enter into an epiphany experience is to have that aha moment, that moment when everything becomes clear, when what Jesus is doing helps us to understand the direction that we're going. But we want to understand that there are going to be some barriers that are going to come up. And those barriers are things that we face every day. Things like cost, things like risk, things like uncertainty. Think the things that the wise men had to face. Those are the things that are going to keep you right where you are until something cataclysmic shakes you out of your contentment. We have an opportunity. What Jesus is offering us through Christmas is an opportunity to make that journey, to put aside those risks and those fears and discover something even more powerful. It is not just for the wise men epiphany, but it is our epiphany. It is my epiphany. It is a time when we get to discover what our true nature really is. Epiphany is not just about a revelation. It's about what's going on in our true selves, in our true life. And so this morning, we're going to take a journey together. We're going to struggle to understand what's holding us back and how to release that energy in order to go where God already has us planned. It's about discovering what's happening in our own lives. So this morning, this aha moment is finding your own place in what God is doing in our lives. So what is it, if you will, what is it that energized the wise men to leave their homes and their livelihood and risk their reputation, their position, everything they have to travel this long distance? What is it that sometimes we're missing in our own lives? See, I think one of the first things that they had that I wish we had in a deeper sense is they had a sense of something of greater value. They had found something that was of more value to them than staying where they were. They were seeking something of significance, of power, and of strength. Their lives had focus. They weren't just trying to stay the status quo or to try and build up their own kingdoms where they were. They were pursuing something greater than themselves. They had seen it in the stars. They'd seen it in people that were around them, and they knew something was happening, and they wanted a part of that. I love this passage from Philippians chapter 3. Paul is talking about his own life when he said, "What is more, as I consider everything, everything that I have compared to the surpassing great, I can consider everything lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ." The surpassing greatness. Paul had found something of deeper significance. And he said, everything that I have given over. It is more valuable to me than anything. And he said, actually, as I consider everything rubbish, it's garbage to me. Everything that everybody else is clamoring for is garbage to me compared to knowing more about Christ. He had found what is deeper value to him. And that was about pursuing who God was. God had revealed himself, the true nature. Can you go back one? I want to show you this cartoon, which kind of really clarifies for me what this is all about. This is a cartoon from Non Sequitur that I have on my desk. And if on one side of the bench, there's this old guy, and he's sitting there with a loaf of stale bread, feeding the birds, you know, feeding pigeons like you might do. You might take some crackers, something that is left over, something that you really don't need. It's of no value. And all you're going to do is you're going to give it to the birds. You're going to almost just throw it away, find some use to it. But on the other side is this image of what we, you know, stereotypically might be of death. It is the black hood, and it's the sickle is there. But what is death throwing away that has no value and is of no significance? Money. And yet, instinctively, we know that that's true. The reason that this is kind of funny is because we know that it's true, and it reflects back to us what our lives are really like. That we put more stock today in money and possessions that at some point in our life is going to be like stale bread for the birds. And we kind of giggle, but deep down inside, it pulls at something. We know that this is true, and yet it haunts us that this is how we live our lives. When was the last time we have found something of deeper value and deeper of significance than our money? That we were willing to invest in something of deeper value than getting more money? Most of our time in the news during December, if you turned the news on at all in December, what was the news all about? Going over a fiscal cliff, right? What's going to happen to our money? Everybody was so concerned about what is going to happen with our money because we don't have anything. Our story, we don't have anything of greater significance, of greater value than that, other than piling our wealth until, of course, we hand it over to death. And death feeds the birds with it. When you think about your own life journey, where you are, what is it that gives your life value and significance? There are things right now that I know that have filled your heart. The church has been so incredibly generous during the time of December. Whenever we put out a need that there are people that are in need, everybody just stepped up and we met so many needs and blessed so many lives. There are people that are significantly connected to things of greater value. The wise men, the people that discover that aha moment in themselves and in the world, have to find something of deeper value than just their possessions. The second step that Jesus tells us about is the second phase of that, is you have to find out what is worth keeping and what is worth releasing. There are certain things that you want to keep. There are certain parts of your life, certain gifts, certain talents that you want to hold on to because they're going to sustain you, not in just this life, but in the future as well. But there are some things that you want to let go of that can get their claws in you and can hold you down. What is Jesus telling? He said, do not store up for yourselves things on earth where moth and rust are going to destroy them and thieves are going to break in and steal. He said, that just doesn't make any sense. Let them go. You can't control them anyway. Build up for yourselves things in the kingdom where moth and rust can never touch it and where thieves can never break in and steal. We know that instinctively. We know that, but it is so hard to take that journey, to take that step, to find that aha moment. And maybe that's just the beginning. If it's really hard for you, then maybe you found something to work on, something to focus on in the new year. Because here's the thing, is Jesus wants us to understand that when we talk about stewardship in the church, about giving, he says this is a heart issue. This is not a financial planning, and this is not about the church, and this is not about meeting the needs of the church. This is about your spiritual aha moment, your spiritual epiphany. He said, because we never want to give out of guilt or begrudgingly, we want to give joyfully. He said, because most people, when they give, they just say, you know, they give almost out of a guilty spirit. But if we can give, if we have that aha moment, we will find that our giving follows three criteria. One, it'll be purposeful. Your giving will have a purpose to it. You will know what that purpose is. And every time you put money in the plate or you do some ministry in the church, it will have a purpose associated with it. You'll do it expectantly. You'll expect some changes as a result. I'm doing this because certain things are going to happen. I'm going to change the world. And maybe you'll do it generously out of what God has already done. So when we think about our epiphany, when we come to that special what's going on inside of us, think of that little acronym, that PEG. When you give purposefully, you ought to be saying, I am giving so that the following things will happen. I am giving, for example, to bless somebody else. I'm giving to help somebody else. I'm giving to further the kingdom of God. I'm giving that the gospel may be shared in people's lives. And I am giving that these children, as they continue to grow, will have a place to experience the same love and connection that I experienced as a child. I give that the gospel may be furthered. We give purposefully. We also want to give expectantly. Why do you give? I give in order to change what? Something ought to change. Money has power with it. What is it that you're going to do with it? Well, I want to change the world. I want to change me. I want to change some attitudes. I want to be a blessing to other people. I want people to find a place of joy and of hope. I give expectantly. If I give even 5 cents, it's going to make a difference in my life and in the people that are around me. I give expectantly. And finally, I give generously. Why? I give because God gave to me. God cares for me. God provides for me. Everything that I have belongs to Him, and to Him I give everything. And so I give generously, not out of guilt or out of remorse or because people are going to send me a card or something, but because I'm changing the world. It creates for us a better story, a better reason for going through our lives together. So I want you to think about your own epiphany moment, your own experience with God, that aha moment when it all became clear what God was doing, taking disciples and transforming their lives. And ask yourself, have you been part of that? Have you been part of that transformation or just watching it from the outside? One of the things that I love about Matthew's encounter of the Magi coming to Jerusalem is it gives this impression that when they showed up at Jerusalem, they were newcomers. And it said, Herod was disturbed and all Jerusalem with them. It makes it sound like those people that are on the outside are part of a loony bin. They're all disturbed, but nobody's doing anything. And I often think about, does that kind of typify how we engage in what God is doing? We're challenged by it. We're just not willing to follow where the Magi are because of those barriers. Ask yourself this morning if that barrier of your possessions is holding you back from that personal epiphany moment when God reveals who He is to you. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, for the journey that you've given to us. We pray that we can encourage one another and inspire one another along that path. Help us, O God, to go deeper and farther with you, to find out more of where you are and what you're doing, and to give over to you control of all that we are and all that we have. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.